May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Some of you here have been coming along to the Lent course sessions over the last couple of weeks. And this last week, we were thinking about meditating on Scripture, feeding on Scripture, and finding spiritual nourishment there. As we heard from our reading from Isaiah, listen to me and eat what is good. One of the coming sessions, Lent course, is on fasting. Fasting and spiritual nourishment. Of course, these two are related. Some of us, perhaps, may have given up something for Lent. Alcohol or chocolate or cakes or whatever. This comes out of the spiritual tradition of fasting, which was part of the Jewish faith that Jesus was born into and still part of the Christian faith today. Jesus indeed assumed that his disciples would fast. It may be something that we don't really think very much about or do very much, but in some parts of the church, fasting is still very important. Not just the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox churches. In recent times, my husband, David, taught for several years at Duke Divinity School in North Carolina in the States. It's a United Methodist in foundation. And one of the things that I was very struck by in some of my frequent visits there was the way that many staff and students from a variety of church backgrounds, Methodist, Anglican and others, took fasting very seriously and tried to fast at least once a week, often on a Friday. This might involve not eating anything at all day, or it might involve a partial fast, not eating luxury goods, or just eating simply. Meeting such Christians has been a challenge to me to think afresh about fasting, and we will be considering fasting in our last Lent group session. But I do encourage you, as long as you're not ill or diabetic or pregnant, to give fasting a go, particularly on Good Friday. If you want to talk more about this, do come along to the Lent session or speak to me individually. Why does anyone fast? Why do people give up things for Lent? What is the purpose of it? Well, I know that there are people who give up cakes in order to lose weight or become more fit. And indeed, fasting is becoming quite fashionable in some diets these days. But although that might be good for us, that is not the Christian purpose of fasting, which is really all about helping us become more aware of our spiritual hunger and thirst. We need more than physical bread. As Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As human beings, we are, of course, both physical and spiritual. We need both physical and spiritual nourishment. And fasting can sharpen our spiritual awareness. And we'll think in a few moments about the spiritual nourishment we need. But fasting also reminds us of our need for physical food and drink and can make us more grateful for the food and drink that we enjoy. No one is so spiritual that they don't need the basic necessities of life. God has made us bodily beings and not disembodied spirits. And in any discussion or reflection on fasting and spiritual nourishment, we should also, of course, remember the huge numbers of people around our world who lack physical bread and water to drink. I heard recently a striking comment that someone made that the biggest division they felt between Christians in the world today was not between Christians of different denominations or different traditions and views on contentious subjects, but a division between those Christians who, when they pray, "Give us today our daily bread," are thinking about spiritual resources, and those Christians who, when they say, "Give us this day our daily bread," are praying desperately for the physical bread they need to survive that day. So as we think about spiritual nourishment, let us not forget all those in dire poverty who don't have enough food to eat. I think of all those people affected by the cyclone in Mozambique and Zimbabwe, people who've been isolated and staying up at the top of trees or just waiting desperately for the help they need and the food and shelter. The Old Testament prophets often linked fasting to justice, and when we fast, we may also want to think about how we can practically help those in need. But what then about spiritual nourishment? Lent may indeed be about fasting and giving things up, and about thinking of the needs of others. But it's also about taking things in, making more time to be spiritually fed and nourished. Earlier we heard those wonderful words from the prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear. Come to me, listen, and you will live. We are urged in these words to become more aware of our spiritual hunger and thirst, and to make time to listen to God and to receive from him. I wonder what it is that we most want. What is it that we most need in our deepest selves? Of course, we do all need physical food and drink, clothes and a warm home to live in. And we remember those who do not have these things in their daily lives. But if we are fortunate enough to have these basic needs met, what then? Are we more and more satisfied by possessing more and more things? Are the richest people in our world the most content people? Statistics would suggest otherwise. Why spend money on that which does not satisfy, Isaiah says. I think most people would say that in the end, what most satisfies, what most feeds our spirits and gives us joy, is the love and friendship of others. Few people, I think, on their deathbeds will wish they had spent more time in the office, or bought a few more new sofas, or visited a few more luxury hotels. They are more likely to wish they had spent more time with their children, or forgiven someone who had hurt them, or shown more love and care to their loved ones and those in need. We all need to love and be loved, and that is a human hunger and thirst just as much as food and drink. And we don't just need to love and be loved by other people, of course. We need also, most fundamentally, to know that we are loved by God. Perhaps sometimes we may be acutely aware of that physical hunger and thirst to be loved by God. But maybe other times we can forget all about God, and we need to be reminded to turn back from the idols that perhaps we may even unwittingly have set up for ourselves, and repent. Just as Paul reminds the Corinthians in our first reading today, and Jesus reminds his hearers in the Gospel. Lent is a good time to think about such things, to turn afresh to God, and to allow ourselves to be nourished by the love he freely offers us. So how can we be spiritually fed and nourished? Let me suggest three ways. One is to meditate on God's word. I mentioned Jesus' words earlier. One does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in our reading from Isaiah, we are encouraged, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Listening to God by pondering words from Scripture can feed our hearts and our spirits. We can take a phrase from Scripture and chew it over and find that it nourishes our hearts. This is an ancient way of reading Scripture called Lectio Divina, and many of us thought about this and tried it out in the Lent course group this last week. We read a short passage of scripture many times, maybe aloud, and we notice any word or phrase that particularly strikes us, and then we chew over, we meditate, we ponder that word or phrase and any thoughts and feelings it stirs in us. And then we turn that into a prayer to God and spend time in God's presence. And doing this can really be a source of nourishment, hope, and life. Perhaps you might want to try that with this reading from Isaiah this morning. Another way of being spiritually fed, of course, is through the Eucharist, through Holy Communion, when our Lord feeds us in the bread and the wine. How exactly that happens is, of course, a mystery, and Christians have been debating and squabbling about this, what happens exactly over many centuries. But, however we understand it, God nourishes us in the bread and the wine by the very life of Jesus, broken and given for us. As we come to communion, we come with empty hands, acknowledging our own need, our own spiritual hunger, and seeking to receive what God freely gives us, food without money or price, the gift of God's very self for us. And then thirdly, we can be nourished by spending time with God in prayer. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, as we heard in our reading from Isaiah. As we spend time in prayer, we receive God's abundant mercy and forgiveness, and we are filled with his love. Perhaps we might also begin dimly to see a little of his ways and his thoughts, which are so different from our own. Prayer can involve talking to God or listening to God through his word. But it also includes just simply being in God's presence in silence, receiving his love. And we will be thinking more about prayer in our next Lent group session this coming week. Now, someone at the 8:30 service this morning said to me, actually, we're fed in a fourth way as well, and that's we're fed, God feeds us through fellowship and through other people. So we might also want to bear that in mind. We all need to know we are loved by God, and I hope that we can make time this Lent to become more aware of our deepest spiritual needs and to be fed and nourished through communion, through meditating on scripture, through sitting quietly in God's presence and allowing his love to touch the deepest parts of ourselves. And then hopefully, just as we have freely received, we will have something to freely give to others. Amen.